Hi, it's Chloe
and Soph,
and welcome to Truth on Air. And this is our first podcast episode.
Today we are joined by the wonderful Bo Madison.
Hey.
She has just started out into the music industry and had a debut with her song last year called Hold On Me.
Yay!
Hello, Bo.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Hating the weather though.
I know, yeah. It's Britain, isn't it?
Hating the weather.
That's why we're in a car and not a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Let's talk music, because that's kind of why we're here, aren't we?
I'm sorry, it sounds so sarcastic. Let's talk music, because that is the reason why we're here, isn't it?
The inspiration behind Hold On Me. What is the inspiration behind Hold On Me?
I don't even think I have actually told either of you this.
This is why
before.
I'm asking.
Shut up! It's about a toxic relationship that I had with one of my ex-boyfriends, and you know when you literally just can't pull away from a certain relationship or a certain
She can relate.
I wanted to write it from that point of view because I feel like everyone talks about, you know, the point of view of like either being heartbroken or like fuck you kind of songs, but this one I wanted to talk about how difficult it is when you're stuck in a toxic cycle and you can't get out and they have a hold on you. So that's why it's called Hold On Me Too.
It's a good song. Yeah.
Yes it is.
Do you like that song?
Yeah, I do like that song.
Oh, yeah, we do like that song.
It's nearly at 10k streams actually.
Oh yay, everyone get it to 10k.
Get a 10k cake.
Yeah. I'll do anything
for
cake.
Make me spend more money.
I'll do anything for cake, seriously.
Okay, get 10k and we'll get you a cake.
Chocolate.
Yeah, get 10k and we'll get you a cake.
What was the process like writing this song?
Was it easy? Was it hard? Was it came naturally? Did it just fall out of you?
Literally. I think it was fun, but it was difficult, I think, putting into words.
Yeah,
also.
It was
really fun to write it. I mean, as it was my first song that I released, it was kind of difficult and there were so many emotions that came with it as well, because I'd never experienced anything like writing my first song that I was going to release, and like it was really scary, but it was so fun. And yeah, I didn't find it difficult to write at all, because I'd experienced it. I knew what to write. I was like, in my notes.
Is it easy writing from experience compared to if it was something someone else experienced?
That's a very good question. I personally think it's easier to write off experience. But then again, I think it's different for everyone. Everyone has a different writing process. Every artist approaches writing differently. So I think it depends. But for me personally, I find it so much easier to just write.
Because you know what you want to say.
Yeah. I know exactly how I'm feeling.
Yeah,
or like, I know how that felt at that time. And
do you know how to put it into words?
Yeah, exactly.
Dancing on my own is a completely different vibe.
It won't be dancing on my own.
I am giving it the nickname. It won't be as in brackets.
Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah.
So dancing on my own, or won't be dancing on my own, is a completely different vibe to Hold On Me.
Yeah.
What made you choose to completely go more dancey?
Obviously, yeah, that one is a lot more clubby. In terms of both of the songs, like obviously they're both about kind of sadder topics that I wanted to make, you know, poppy and dancey, because that's the kind of music I love to make. But this one was definitely this one was based off of like a story me and my producer just came up with randomly in the session. It's about going to the club with your girls and your partner has told you that they're working late at work tonight, so you're like, yeah, that's fine. Go to the club and having a good time, you turn around and you see your partner there with someone else cheating on you right in front of you. And then I feel like once you know the backstory to the song, the lyrics make so much more sense. But that was really fun to actually write, because it was a completely made up story. But yeah, It was really
fun. It's not from experience, that one, then?
No, that one's not. I mean, I have been cheated on, but the actual story and the actual, like, the thing that I wrote about, yeah, that was a complete...
Which one was easier for story. You to write?
I think the first one, you know. But, yeah, probably just because it was from experience. Yeah.
For Dance On My Own, what was the writing process like?
We came up with like the production and stuff first, and then yeah, like I said, made up this story and just wrote down feelings that like I had experienced when I got cheated on, and then just put that into the story. And yeah, the writing process was really, really fun.
It's also a very good song, I can't lie.
I know.
Thank you. It's a lot more clubby, but I like it.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. A little clubby vibe in the morning.
I just got the clubby synths.
We have our podcast playlist on quite a bit, and it's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's literally...
And every time I hear it, I'm like, ah!
Yeah, let's dance!
Aww. So cute.
She's writing, what comes first? Whether it's the lyrics or the melody or like how what actually does come first. Everyone's different.
Yeah, no, literally. And sometimes with me it's different every single time. Like sometimes I'll come into a session and have like lyrics, and even sometimes like a half a song that I've already written, like the night before, because sometimes I'm like at 3 a.m. I'll like be just in bed, can't sleep, and just write songs, and they're always the best ones
at like 3 a.m.
They're always the best songs.
Best ideas come up for
yeah literally. 100%. And yeah, so sometimes I'll walk in with that, or like sometimes I'll literally have nothing and we'll start from like production and then melody. So it's different every time, but I prefer to start with like a production and then a melody, and then, you know, finding lyrics to go with that. That's my normal process, but yeah, it varies, honestly.
So we are changing subject.
Yeah,
and we're going down to your childhood.
Childhood.
Yes.
They're going to the root.
We're starting where Bo Madison started as a child. So, okay, what was your childhood like musically? I know a lot of people that go into the industry have had music in their childhood because of their parents played, their siblings played. Did any of that play a part in you becoming an artist?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, my mum, she was a singer and a dancer, so I think just that automatically brought me into it when I was young. And you know, I'd always go and see musicals, and just like I've always been singing, like since I can remember. Like there's videos of me like crawling, like singing, like, or like Barney. Singing Barney, like that was my go-to. There's so many videos of me singing Barney.
Barney is a dinosaur.
Did you ever watch Burn a Big Blue House?
No.
I didn't watch that.
Barney was my favorite. I think that's all I watched.
Barney is amazing.
I've always been like that person that will stick to one thing at a time.
So if your mum was the musically one, what was your dad? What does he do?
Nothing creative. Nothing like that, but he supports it so much, like he loves it. I've always been singing, and then I did a lot of musical theatre when I was younger. Went to like theatre school and went down that route, but then I realised that I wanted to do more writing and recording and take it down that route. So
what's your favourite musical?
My favourite musical is Phantom of the Opera.
That's shocking.
Why?
I don't know, I just don't see, I see you more like, I don't know.
I'm actually interested to know what.
I feel like you're more of like a Six.
That's what I was thinking.
No, I do love Six.
Six or Wicked?
Yeah, don't like, yeah, Six, fucking love Six so much, but Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis, oh my gosh, like, they're just so emotional, and like the storyline is just so good, and the singing, that oh my god, it's just insane. So I'm just literally start crying. Just so good.
Going back to childhood, what was your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory necessarily like good, because it really, really hurt actually, but I got my tongue stuck on an ice lolly.
He's answering both questions in one, I think.
In the freezing cold, my dad decided to take me to the park when it was like snowing or something. I don't know. Probably because I'd like had thrown a tantrum or something and said, if you don't take me, and then for some reason, then yeah, got an ice lolly in the freezing cold and my tongue stuck to it. And my dad was like, oh my gosh, because my dad's such a panicker, like if anything happens, because also I'm an only child, so I don't have any siblings, so like my dad is like I'm his little girl, and he's like really like if anything happens, he's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a funny one. That's all I can really remember.
How does your family feel knowing you've gone into the music industry?
They love it. My mum loves it because she always like, well, she did it when she was younger anyway, so she's like all for it and like helps me so much, and she's amazing. And yeah, my dad's just so chill. He just is like, yeah, whatever, she's doing what she loves to do and that's it. Yeah, literally, like I'm so glad that they're so supportive of it, and they help me so much, so yeah, love them.
So
I can't make a heart. <I'm> like this.
What was your comfort place that you always looked forward to going to as a kid? So like where, like let's ask safe as well, where was your comfort place as a kid?
My bed.
Like, mine was literally the beach near my house growing up.
I think
up.
Mine was like my bed. Or probably just with my sister.
Like, what is one thing you would look forward, like, I know everyone has like one place they would go to once a year. Mm-hmm. Mine was the Isle of Wight or Portland Park.
Always go to Bude in Cornwall. Every year, the same dates, because it would always be for my mum's birthday in August. Mm-hmm. Same dates, the same amount of time. Even like, because it was mainly like with my mum and her ex, but then we still ended up going, and then I actually went through literally a breakup the morning of the last time we went. It was
sorry, that's not funny.
No, I do look back here, I do laugh to be fair, because he literally lives next door to
me. How old were you?
16.
The breakups when you were 16 were the hardest.
Always.
They were the hardest.
Anyway.
Oh yeah, no, my favourite place.
Yeah, your comfort place, like
again, actually Cornwall, like I go there every single year with my family and my dogs, and I just love Cornwall so much. It's just so peaceful. It's so different to London. Like London is such fast like pace. Yeah. Everyone is like running around practically.
Yeah.
But in Cornwall it's just so relaxed, just so slow paced.
But I do love the Gold Coast, like Devon as well. Because I went to Devon back in June, and the water and the beach.
Oh, I know.
It's amazing.
It's like being abroad but in our own country.
It's beautiful.
I just wish the Devon beaches were like the beaches in your own town, not for mud.
Bournemouth can be nice in the summer, but it's such a tourist attraction. Yeah. Everyone from London comes down. Yeah. It's hell.
Because it's close to this road, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like one direct 2-hour train. Yeah.
Does Brighton have a beach?
Yeah. Did you just ask? Brighton has a beach!
Brighton's stony beach.
Oh,
yeah.
Brighton's known for the seaside.
Yeah, no, but I didn't know if it was like a sandy beach or if it was a stony beach.
I don't like it because it's stony. Oh, actually, another place is probably dance class, actually, when I was younger. Like, I went to dance class literally so many times a week, and it was literally my favourite place.
To be honest, mine was probably gymnastics in my teens.
And gymnastics, yeah.
Because I went once a week.
Mine was probably cheerleading.
Yeah. Oh, we all did similar things then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is something you have struggled with in your childhood?
I think a lot when I was younger, I would care about what people thought a lot. And as I got to secondary school, I mean, I feel like I had to just kind of deal with it because I wanted to, like, I was so scared to post covers and stuff like that of me singing because everyone in secondary school is always so judgy, and I'd always care about what people thought and like what they're gonna say, and like if they come up to me at school and say something, like, but I just had to say, do you know what, I do not care anymore. And once you start telling yourself that, like every day, like just post what you want to do, don't care about what they think, then it gets into your mind. But I was really shy when I was younger actually, and I would always care about what people would think of me all the time, but yeah.
I was the same in school.
Yeah.
Really, really like, pushes your, like, insecurities and... Mm-hmm. It's they just they, are very mean.
Secondary school is a horrible
place.
It's,
yes.
It's like a test.
It's yeah. hell in there, it's the GC test. Was saying.
Yeah. It's hell in there, it's horror.
Literally.
So, secondary school is a horrible place.
Okay, so...
I'm scared for my kids to go there, honestly.
Me too.
I think I might homeschool them, honestly. I don't want them to go through
that's,
that.
That's what's happened to
get
my sister.
Get them through primary school and then we're like, right, being homeschooled.
Yeah, homeschool. Yeah my- we're moving on now to fans. Yeah, so you started to build a fan base towards the end of 2024. Yeah. You now have a group chat with all of your fans on Instagram. Yeah. And it's grown pretty quickly. Like, it went from, like, what, 40 to, like, 100 almost overnight.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It went really, yeah, it grew really fast.
What is it like having a group of people who support you and your music? And what goes down in the group chat?
There's just so much rain.
We know what goes down in the group chat, don't we? This is where the hear me out comes out.
No, we're not talking about that. Because they are the people in the group chat, they know what goes down in the group chat. And if you want to be added to the group chat, then send me a message. But, we will not expose it. No, yeah, no, it was really, really crazy. But I love them all. I love you all. You're in it. You guys are in it too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just so amazing to like have so many people just like supporting my music and sending me messages saying like I love your music, like it helped me through a hard time, and like that is what I'm doing it for, do you know what I mean? Like these are the messages that make me go like fuck, like I want this even more, like I want to release more music now, like because it just yeah it's such a surreal feeling and yeah makes me so happy.
Leading on from your fans, you recently done your fan event,
yeah,
which went amazing.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was so much fun.
It was so amazing.
What was it like putting faces to some of the fans there?
What was it?
So what was it like putting faces to fans that you speak to on the daily?
Oh yeah, no, again, like. That was so surreal because people travelled from Birmingham, Brighton, like for literally 2 hours. Like the fan event wasn't that long, you know, it was like for 2 hours. And people travelled and they brought gifts and I was like literally, I didn't cry there because I didn't want to ruin my makeup. But as soon as I got home, I was like sobbing with like my little cat.
We did go out.
No, we didn't go out.
You may have been a little bit under the influence.
But like
just a tad.
We had to celebrate. A lot of sweat and
tears
went into
it. Yeah.
A lot of
sweat and tears went into it. But no, like, it was insane to just meet people and like, you know, because the people who have been like talking on the group chat for, you know, the last month or even a couple of months, because some people have been on there since like I started it in September, I think.
Yeah, September. I think it might have been October, November.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or was it?
Because we didn't really know each other until October.
No, but I had it before I met you. Yeah, so I had it in, like, September.
Well, it grew a ton in, then, like, November, December.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It grew a lot then, and then around, like, Christmas, that's when it, like, jumped up, because now it's at, like, 160.
It's crazy.
And, yeah, there were, like, 40, 50 people in it before. But it's just insane, and, yeah, it was... so amazing. The meetup, I want to do one literally every single day.
What was your favorite memory from the meetup?
I think literally just chatting with everyone and taking pictures with everyone and seeing like the gifts that they brought and like insane. I think yeah, mainly that, like talking to people, taking pictures with them, getting to know them as well, because like that's always what I said. And when I did my first Zoom, like my fan Zoom event, I was like making clear, I was like, I know you guys are here to listen to me, but I also want to know about you, because at the end of the day, like, you're supporting me and sending me so much love, like I want to know about you guys as well. So it was just nice to catch up with everyone.
Going back to Zoom call,
oh yeah,
what is your favorite meal?
My favorite meal has changed,
or is it still the same?
What was it originally?
What did I say it was on the Zoom call? Because it literally changes every week.
I think
week.
It was like pasta.
Yeah, I mean, I love any pasta.
Some sort of pasta.
But Korean barbecue.
Of course.
Mm. My favourite.
And let's also talk about the Kahoot that we did.
Oh, yeah.
At the final event.
Yeah.
And your hair colour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 When was when that, I was like, a baby. Yeah, was... Did that just naturally change to blonde? Or?
My mum's always been a redhead. So when I was born, I was a redhead. And then just as I got older, it just got so much darker. And then I am a fake blonde.
That's what I was going to ask. I was like...
But I feel like people can't really tell because people just assume I'm a blonde.
Yeah.
This is why I couldn't dye my hair like... Like, I could dye it, like, pink or, like, something like that, but, like, I could never go, like, brunette or something because I just feel like blonde is
She could go crazy, like, pink, but she can't go brown.
But, like, baby pink, baby pink.
Hey, we were discussing this when I was talking about potentially dyeing my hair.
Yeah.
Because then you sent, like, photos of
like
how you
pink
wanted it to
highlights.
Kind of yeah.
Like, baby pink highlights.
Like, Barbie in the Mermaid film.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I was ginger when I was baby.
Always
yeah,
a Barbie.
It's so cool.
I just want to be a Barbie.
Yeah,
literally.
So
So I was ginger when I was baby.
That's crazy.
And then it just got dark. Like I just turned like brunette as I got older. Like everyone's hair gets darker as they get older, anyway. So yeah. But like I still have like red undertones in my hair, like a lot of them. And if I was to like strip back to my natural color, there'd be so many like golden and like. Ginger like undertones in my hair, but it's just I bleached the fuck out of my hair now, so you can't really see
valid
anything.
Though.
I used to bleach my hair about 2 times a month for a good year.
It gets addictive, it and like for me as well.
It fries your hair too.
But
it
being does. A blonde, like blonde dysmorphia is real. Like I do not ever feel blonde enough. Like I will always like say to my friends like, oh, I'm just like not blonde. I like they're like. What the fuck? You are blonde. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I want to be this blonde. And I get, like, some like,
there's so many
up.
Different shades of blonde that we were discussing.
Yeah, so many.
A different. Lot of us in the uni group chat, we're talking... A lot of us are going through a midlife crisis and want to dye our hair.
What colour do you want to dye your hair?
I've sent, like, 10 different colours.
Oh, yeah, because you wanted to dye your hair red, didn't you?
Yeah, but so then, it's red, purple, then I want, burgundy,
maybe
blonde.
You would suit this colour.
But then I want my, like, balayage to be maybe more blonde.
Mm.
I don't know yet. Like I'm trying to figure out because as I'm so pale, I'm trying to figure out what actually works.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I've been every single colour of the rainbow, so.
I find that so cool though.
So we are changing topic to the one we've all been waiting for.
Mental health.
And phobias.
Yes.
Because we know what's going to come up in this. So.
Yes.
We are close friends and we have discussed and talked a lot about certain things. We struggle with, and one thing we've realised no one talks about and wanted to talk about is anxiety and emetophobia.
Yeah, I just, like, I do feel like it's such a common thing, because so many people I've met, like, I mean, no one likes sick, no one likes to be sick, and no one likes sick, but...
If you do, you're weird.
Your boyfriend.
Like, no one likes that, but it's... The actual like anxiety that comes with having a emetophobia that not many people talk about, and yeah, like I follow a few people on TikTok that like deal with it, but it's really really difficult. Like the feeling with any anxiety, like what if I go here and this happens, or like what if, because it is the fear of like not knowing the future, you know. So with a emetophobia, it's like scary because it's like if I eat something that's gonna make me ill.
Yeah.
What if I go here and I throw up?
But it's like, also not just the fear of us throwing up. It's the fear of going into public and people being sick in
public. But, like, I'm not, like, too bad with that. Like, if my boyfriend's throwing up or, like, my friends are throwing up, like, I'll help them. Like, I'm not that bad. It's mainly me. I think me is that feeling of, like, the horrible feeling before you're sick. I'm scared I'm going to get that when I'm, like, on the train or, like... in public, and then loads of people look at me and go, ew, like, oh my god, like,
no, like mine is also being in public and people being sick. I get anxiety when
then
I see
you
people
anxiety
being sick.
That then you'll be sick from that.
That and just seeing it happen gives me anxiety that I then go all panicky.
Yeah,
even just
it's
seeing
happened.
Sick makes me feel like I'm gonna be sick.
Yeah,
but like it's so weird because. Obviously, you don't have emetophobia, do you? Like,
I do, but not
but
as like, intense as us.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't make you scared to, like, go out of the house sometimes. No. So, you're like, and that's why it's so weird, because no one likes to see sick, but people with, like, emetophobia. And it's also, like health anxiety, it's so difficult because if you think you're the slightest bit ill or like you could potentially be ill somewhere, like it ruins your whole day. Yeah. And you like can't concentrate and it ruins your eating schedule.
Yeah.
It like
you appetite.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, it's the worst thing ever. And then you're just not yourself, you know? Yeah, it's really deep.
But it had to be discussed. I told you, truth on air is truth on air.
It is, yeah. It's really like difficult. So if anyone is struggling with that, please don't feel like you're alone, because and recently as well, I've met so many more people that struggle with it as well, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's completely normal to feel
no
like
one
this.
Talks about
but
it.
But no one talks about it, so we're like, let's talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because like it's like with anxiety, you're anxious, mm-hmm. but then you get, because you're anxious, you then feel sick.
Yeah,
it's a whole. And then yeah. you're anxious because you feel sick.
Yeah.
And then like for instance, when we've been out, you've mentioned you feel sick, and then we go like we're just jumping with each other.
Yeah.
And it's just a constant circle. Yeah.
No, I know, and it's so difficult. Like, and also I feel like you feel more comfortable around someone once you tell them like hey, I have this. You know, health anxiety, whatever, I'm scared of being sick, like you feel a lot more comfortable because then they're like, oh, like that's all right, like, and it makes you naturally feel just like more relieved because you know that they're gonna get it.
Yeah.
If you happen to be sick around them, they're not gonna hate you.
Yeah.
But yeah, never feel like you're alone, because you're not. So many people struggle with it, so many more people like that you would think struggle with it.
When did you realise that you had anxiety and phobia?
I don't know, this is actually a really funny story, and I think this is the reason why I have it. Was when around my area we do something called the 11 plus test, which most people do, but it's just to get into a grammar school. Like in other parts of the UK, you do the 11 plus test to get into a grammar school, but around my area you have to do it to get into any secondary school. So you have to like be studying, like, oh my gosh, it's so stressful. You're like literally 10 years old studying for this exam. So I studied literally for a year, and I was never the most academic person in school, because I was just the music theatre kid, like, you know, I was never really good at maths or English or whatever. And I studied so hard, 10 years old, for a year, and I went into this exam, and I had a sickness bug, and I threw up in this hall with about 150 people there. And obviously everyone's 10 years old, so they're going like, like looking at me, everyone's turned around. And also because my last name begins with a J, so I was like kind of in the middle, and everyone was like looking back. Like, everyone looked. So, and that was like a trauma from that, because then I went into school afterwards and everyone was going, ew, like, don't throw up on me, like, ew, go away, like, you're so disgusting, like. And I'm like 10 years old. So actually I think it all stemmed from that, like, because
kids are just
mean from when you're young. I think it all like stemmed from that, because kids are so horrible.
They're just so mean. Like it happens to them as well.
Yeah, but it's like, and then because I had to go and do other exams after that, like there was like a science one and a music one. Everyone knew me as the girl that threw up. So they're like going to the exam, and people would be telling their mum, like, "Mum, like she threw up in the test." So it like made this whole massive deal around being sick for me, because everyone was talking about it for like a year. And then it started from that, it really did, and that was a long time ago, so.
Yeah.
But I think it does, if you look back into like a certain point in your life, like potentially there might be something that did like cause it, and for me that definitely was it, because it was such a big deal at the time that now in my head it's just like throwing up equals deal,
you
know?
It's stuck in your brain.
Yeah.
So how do you cope with like anxiety and emetophobia now, and is it easier now than when you were a child?
Oh yeah, definitely. Just I think because I've gotten older, I understand myself and my body more, compared to when I was like 10, 11. Like I was like, mum, like what is happening, like. And also, she didn't really, like, understand it at first either. She, like, gets it now, obviously, because it's been a long, long time. But at first, she didn't really get it. She was just like, oh, you know, like, I don't know. And it was really difficult for me to deal with, because I didn't know. I was like, what is this? Like, I don't know how to deal with this. I'm literally, like, 10 years old. But, yeah, as I've gotten older, definitely, it's gotten a lot better to deal with. I just, like, know like, no, you've had this feeling before and you got through it, so you can get through it again. That's just my mindset. Like, every morning if I wake up and I'm like, oh, I feel really like sick and anxious today, I'm like, nope, you felt like this 5 days ago and you got through it, like, you're fine.
It's the best mindset to have, otherwise you won't do anything.
Yeah.
And you'll just end up being like a person that stays at home and just let it win all the time.
I'd be a vegetable.
Like, I never actually had, like, I didn't really like have the full-on anxiety when I was 10, but I still had like the fear, and the fear started from that, and I didn't know how to deal with the fear of that, because it was such a like everyday problem that I would be like, oh, what if I'm ill again and I go to school and I throw up, like, but yeah, it's definitely so much easier now.
If someone had the same struggle as you, which probably many people do, what would one piece of advice be that you'd give to them if they were watching the podcast or listening to the podcast?
Do the things that you're scared of. Like, and I know that is so difficult, and like, I know when people used to tell me to do that, I'd be like, how is that supposed to help me? Like, I don't understand, it's just gonna make everything worse. Like, I don't wanna do that, that's like scary. But if you keep doing the things that scare you, like, eventually you'll be like, no, but you know, I've done it before and nothing happened. Like, I went on the train and I didn't throw up. Like, I can do it again. And like, the more times you do it and you face it, it gets easier and better. Like, it doesn't, you know, go away completely, but it does make it a lot easier. Like, have you found like sometimes when you're really like anxious and then you like go and do something that like you're scared
I push through.
And you push through like
some things.
Yeah, and you're really proud of yourself after. You're like, I did it.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like, I feel like stupid sometimes when I'm saying this, like the simplest things, like I did it, like I went out and did this today. But like, no, like, it's such a big deal when you have anxiety to like actually go
just
out
getting
and do
out
it.
Of bed is a big achievement sometimes,
even making your bed as well. It's the tiniest little things that matter, because the tiniest little things will motivate you.
Even turning
the light on when you wake up,
doing
something,
even
though I don't have to get out of bed to do mine, but it's hard to support.
But you do, you just feel so proud of yourself, and that would be my advice, I think.
So we also suffer with ADHD,
as
we know.
Yes,
which is spoken
so
more,
like,
she's like, yeah, I know, I do all this. It's spoken more about now than when we were kids.
Yeah,
we do blame our ADHD a lot and joke about it when we are distracted, procrastinating, or struggling to focus, but it really is a struggle daily, and it's not talked about enough how neurodivergent people have to do things a different way, and fight themselves every day to get anything done. How does your ADHD impact uni, work, and just daily life?
Exactly everything you said. Like, it is so difficult on a day-to-day basis, and also having ADD as well, which is like the other end of the spectrum for me. Like, sometimes I will like wake up and I know I need to clean my room, and I will just lay there looking at my room and I'm like, I don't know where to start. And it's always that, it's like, I do not know where to start. And then your brain starts like going like, oh, and I need to do this and I need to do that, and then you get so overwhelmed that you've been sat there for like 2-3 hours and you haven't done anything. And with uni work especially, it's really difficult. With essays, I really struggle because I don't know where to start. And I look at this big list of stuff that I need to include in my essay, and I just look at it and it all just blurry. I will read it over and over again, and it will only be until I'm like, right, focus, read one line at a time, like, and then it gets in my head. But it's a struggle when there's so much to look at and to include in something, and like, or to do, that you don't know where to start.
This is why I encourage our lecturers to put examples up,
because
they help
easier,
because then you can like not copy it but like
you can follow it
and like change it into what you're doing, and then it's just,
it's so much easier.
It's also calms your brain down.
And like, we were going through my notes app last night, and
which is mental
because
she has so many
because they're all with different artists, but there's a multiple to-do list on there that have been, I've started one, I then didn't complete that to-do list in December and started a new one in January, and I've still got things on there from before Christmas that I need to complete.
Yeah.
Because I just procrastinate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that's what I do. Like, and do you know, it's actually mainly with like cleaning, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
My room is a mess as we speak.
Yeah.
It's always a mess.
It gets messy so quickly as well, like.
It could be like the tiniest thing. It's like when, like, if I get takeaway and it's just for myself.
Yeah.
As soon as that bag's on the floor, it just turns into a mess. And I'm like, it's one tiny little bag with like a bottle inside.
Yeah.
And my wrappings from like my Greg's bag that's
like
But I look at it and I'm like, I really need to tidy that. I need to put that in the bin.
Yeah.
But then it will take me days.
Yeah. Yes,
I have a bin bag in my room that I need to take down.
And it's with like the cups and like the glasses in your room as well.
Yeah.
Like I will have like six glasses just on my side. And my mum's like, why can't you just bring like one at a time? Like when you're finished with it, bring it down. And I'm like, I would love to do that. That sounds that sounds like a great idea.
But I ain't gonna do it.
And I can't do that. I don't know why. I just can't.
It's like my mind also works. If my mum asked me to do something, mind don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But if so, like if I was already planning on doing something to help her out,
no, that is such a thing. And then your mum or
and
someone
ask
you
to do
like,
what
no,
you're
gonna
do, and you're like, no, I don't want to do it.
It's like if you're gonna do the dishes, and then like your mum goes, hey,
can
you do the dishes?
And
I'm like, I don't want to do it
anymore.
Not doing them anymore. Like, it ruins your motivation.
Why is that a thing?
I don't know.
This is what people
don't talk about
because
either.
Because it's like, because I tell my mum this as well, and she's like, well, I don't understand because you were going to do it anyway.
My mum says the same.
But I'm like, I don't know what it is, but why?
I feel like it's to do with the motivation because you're motivated to do it.
But
yourself.
Now someone's telling you what to do.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it.
Yeah. Because you're motivated to do it yourself. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm actually doing it. But then as soon as someone asks you, like, no, they've asked me now.
Yeah.
So
it's boring.
Yeah.
Because I realised that, because I saw a TikTok about it, where I was like, that's, like, so common, but no one talks about that either.
I know.
Because I, like, my mum will call me up and she'll be like, can you do this? I'd be like, I was going to, but now I'm not going to. And then it causes an argument. And then she's like, if I don't ask, it's not going to get done. I went, well, I was going to do it, but now it's not going to get done because you've asked.
Yeah.
It's like with ADHD, also working in the industry and having to like lead people is hard.
Yeah.
Because you can't get your own to-do list done, let alone
their to-do list.
Yeah, their to-do list. Like obviously being an artist manager is so hard. Like trying to get things done and try and keep the team on track is also a
and
big challenge.
And try and keep your mental state as well.
Yeah, and trying and also trying to manage so much at the same time. It's like, that's the problem.
But always remember to take breaks. Like, even though it's like difficult, but breaks are like the time where you can like fully relax. But I feel like even when you take a break, you don't fully relax because you're like thinking about like what to do next.
This is a question for Soph though. What is it like being friends with two people whose ADHD, anxiety and emetophobia bounce off each other? Are we hard to be around together?
No, I actually find it quite easy. Well, not easy. I mean, it's obviously going to be probably a bit harder than just like, I say normal, but no one's fucking normal these days. I mean, like, there is times where you're bouncing off the fucking walls and I'm just like...
Just like before we filmed this.
Yeah.
Because someone was 2 hours late.
I was fashionably late in traffic and I was getting my nails done.
She told us she was leaving an hour after she was meant to be here.
I was getting my nails done. I have an important day tomorrow.
See, the ADHD again.
Yeah.
Fashionably late.
I can cope with it, to be fair, because I feel like I was just like you as like a kid, like you are now, very chaotic and loud and funny. I just feel like,
do you think though, like, our ADHD comes out in different ways though?
Yes, completely.
Like, yeah,
completely.
Because that's
different.
Also like another thing. See, you people can have ADHD but be completely different.
You both do ramble a lot.
Yeah, I do,
but we love
but then we all
ramble.
We all ramble a lot, so
we all like to yap.
Yeah,
but I think we're worse when we're both drunk and she's sober.
Am I a bad drunk? Am I a bad drunk?
No, you're not a bad drunk.
I think us together
I would rather.
What happened the last time we were both drunk together? That's what I want to know, because I don't remember anything.
Oh,
I don't know if she remembers anything.
We went on TikTok live together.
Oh, shit, we did.
Chatting absolute waffle
What's worse was when you went, when you dropped us off and you left, I went live again, and it was worse.
She did.
It was worse.
She so on there, and then and she was alive, and she was there for a couple of minutes, and then she was like, I've got to go now. And she was like, Chloe was like, no, don't leave me. You've got to stay. You've got to stay. It's like, Chloe, shut the fuck up. Like, you need to stop. And then Chloe was like, yeah, but you know when you love someone and you really, really love them. Now going on to how we met.
Yeah, so
how we met.
Do you want to tell the story or do you want me to tell the story?
Well, I don't, but we didn't, like, meet, we just, we well, were, like, followed each other on Instagram.
I don't even remember following you back.
I don't remember following you. That's the thing, I don't remember, like, how.
I just remember you followed me randomly, and I was just like, oh, cool, an artist, I'm going to follow her back.
Yeah, but we don't remember.
But I don't know how I came across yours from, because I had a few mutuals from the year below that I'd met at a party, so maybe I just found you guys through them.
I know mutuals
in your year.
I know that you.
I have no idea.
Messaged me for the first time via my Sapphire video because we all went to the Sapphire gig.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, because I messaged you and I said, oh, you're at Sapphire.
And then you realised that I went to the same
uni. And then we met up and went to the pub.
Yeah. Oh, that's a way to put it short, isn't it? So yeah, then we met up, we went to the pub, and then we kind of just started seeing each other often.
Every Wednesday.
And it became a Wednesday thing.
We haven't even been that, that close for that long. But
no, it's literally been three, four months. 3 months?
Yeah.
3 months, yeah.
And then, obviously, we helped you with the event.
I felt like the first time we all met, it felt like we'd known each other forever. Yeah. When it was the first time we actually met.
That was crazy.
We were just talking about such deep stuff.
And we were sober that day. It was the second time where she left us on our own for a little bit.
I don't remember.
We're not even going to talk about half the conversation that came out her mouth.
Did I?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Is that when we were with Louise?
Yeah. Also, as well as that, we now work together on things. And there is more we're going to be working on. We've just yet to discuss it.
Yay!
Let's be discussed after this.
Right. So, like we said, Chloe has said, even, we all attend the same uni. Woo-hoo. Mm-hmm. Woo! What are you studying?
I am studying a course called Creative Musicianship. Creative musicianship. And I love it. I mean, I think it's definitely a course that you have to put a lot of work into outside as well as like into the uni work as well, because at the end of the day, they can only teach you so much, you know, you have to go out and do it yourself. And that's what I like really learned in like towards the end of first year. I was like, you know, I need to like go out and, because if you don't experience things, you can never learn from them, you know, and like mistakes you make and stuff like that, like you learn from them and better ways to approach situations and stuff like that, so you can only really like learn.
But when you applied to the uni, you didn't originally apply for this course, did you?
No, songwriting. So, yeah.
And why? Yeah. What made you change?
I think the course is actually slightly different from what I from what it was like when I did it, but I just felt like it was a lot more like writing songs behind the scenes for artists instead of being like an artist myself. But again, that was just first year, so it might have gotten better. From what I hear about songwriting now, like lots of people enjoy it, so it might have just been first year and I moved, but oh well.
With the course that you're doing, do you think it's beneficial to you as an artist? And would you recommend it to other artists to take the course?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's a lot of... if you want to be in a band and like you want to get more experience on collaborating, definitely, because that is like a massive thing that we do in it. And if you're not used to collaborating with like, you know, a band, then it's really good. But I wouldn't just rely on it to like make yourself an artist, if that makes sense, because you have to do everything outside of it. Like, as I said, there's only so much they can teach you, but it is a really, really good course if you want to study and obviously get that diploma at the end. Then I think it's a good course. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Okay, what inspired you to become an artist, and when did you know you could sing? Was it natural, or did you have lessons?
It was natural. I've had singing lessons, but the way I found out that I enjoyed singing and I could sing was, yeah, literally just randomly, probably one day. I was probably Barney again. It was probably me singing along to Barney, and my mum was like,
mini Selena Gomez right here.
She can, yeah, oh my gosh, she's so cute in that.
We love Sabrina.
Sabrina Gomez.
Selena.
Yeah, and my parents were probably like, it was probably my mum. My mum was probably like, oh, she can sing in tune. Like, oh, that's interesting. So, and I think I probably just said to her, like, oh, I want to go to singing lessons. I want to go to dance. And I've always done dance as well, like little baby ballet and stuff. Although I cried my first class. Crying at baby ballet is probably very common.
Who are your biggest inspirations to your music? And if we asked who your music is more like or similar to, who would you say?
So my biggest influences are definitely Ariana, Tate, Zara Larsson, all the pop girlies, and I don't know, again, I feel like I would say the music I have released, probably less Ariana Grande. Probably more like Zara Larsson, to be honest, actually, because in some of her earlier songs as well, she had some more of like the clubbier kind of songs. But yeah, definitely like Tate and Zara Larsson, I think. We love them.
What is up and coming for Bo Madison this year, and what is three of the biggest things on your vision board? There we go.
Maybe, to be honest, I've been trying to keep it like a cute little secret, but I'm just gonna say it now. I'm working on an EP. And we are working out a headline show, EP launch party.
Yes, we are. Headline show
for around that time that it comes out. So that is really, really fucking exciting. And I'm so excited for the EP to come out, because it's gonna be a whole new era. Whole new like era of content, just everything. I'm so
excited. Is it
going
to be similar to like
the stuff I've already...
yeah, the stuff you've already done, or are you going to be trying something different?
Some of the songs are, I mean, so I'm doing four. I'm gonna have a sad song in there, obviously.
Oh, no.
Who doesn't love a sad song?
Get your
song?
Tissues ready, guys.
I love a sad song.
Get your tissues and your chocolate.
Yeah. And your ice cream.
Yeah.
I don't like ice cream, actually. That's...
Do you not?
No, I don't like ice cream.
Oh.
Sorry. ADHD. What was it? Yeah. Cheeky little ballad on there, because we've got to have a sad song.
Yes, we do.
And I'm actually... I'm so excited. I'm really so excited.
I want to hear this.
Now, opening song is like very based on big K-pop production, but not the K-pop that you're like, very much big like Blackpink production.
I was gonna say, was it like Blackpink Red Velvet?
Like very much like just big like bassy. Like,
that sounds K-pop exciting.
It does. And it's gonna be the opening song, so it's gonna be like a very...
That sounds pretty cool.
Like, hey, this is me. yeah, so that is really exciting.
And
vision board.
Yes, vision board. Yeah. Three things on, like, the biggest things on your vision board. And then I was thinking, maybe we get you back, obviously, when the EP comes out. Or like, at the 100%. End of the year, to see if you've achieved these things that you on your vision board.
Really. Okay, I'm not going to make them too crazy, because, like, that'd be
make
really
them, like, make them reality. So, like, things that you want. Yeah, that's it. That you want to actually happen this year, that we could then bring you back on and be like, have you done that?
Number one, I think definitely just to keep growing my fan base, so more people can hear my music, and hopefully like it. What else? Oh, my foot stuck. What's another thing? I'm trying to think of like realistic
EP related you could do, or radio play.
Yeah,
or...
more radio plays, and hopefully bigger, like BBC introducing future pop, like bigger radio shows.
maybe having your first proper headline.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just as well.
She's getting on it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, having my first ever headline show, which I hope goes really well. We've got to start planning.
I know we do. She's looking at me.
No, I'm just like, I'm so excited. Like, I know. We need to start planning now.
What would be your made-up moment in your career currently, so far? And what would it be for you in the future?
I definitely think it was the fan meetup, just when I was like meeting people who knew my songs. Like, even that is still crazy to me now, that people traveled because they love my music. Like, that is still insane. And I feel like, yeah, so far that's just been the most amazing, crazy moment. And then I think in the future it would be, I've said this before, but on the Summertime Ball stage, because I used to go there, like, well, I still go every single year with like my mom, and I've been going since I was young. I feel like just to hear like a whole massive crowd singing back my songs to me would be like a moment. You know, when you see artists and they're on stage and everyone, they're like, oh my gosh, because like everyone's
singing. I
can just
imagine you like Zara Larsson. Yeah.
Really?
You dance as well, which we haven't spoken about. Yeah. You do still dance.
Yeah. And that's like another thing with the all the new like music and stuff and content, like it's going to be very dancey and stuff like that. So it's going to be exciting. I'm so excited. And as it's like getting warmer as well, because it's going to come out like just before summer.
That's pretty idea.
Yeah.
We thank Bo for coming on.
Thank you, Bo.
Okay, bye. Thank you for coming on and joining us. We love you.
We can't wait to see what your future
is. Yeah, and have you back on later this year.
Unfiltered.
Uncensored.
Unapologetic.